Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday at long last, another week. This is September 11th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Do you remember? It's September. Also, it's 9/11, so it is a good day to remember.
It's a
good day to have some remembrance. It's not necessarily.
It is a day for remembering. Yes. I believe it was. Was it the 21st night? The 23rd night? Is that
yes?
The song we're looking for. Okay. So yes, expect more remembering later this month. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, hey, good to be here and happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday to everybody. And because it's Friday, we are doing Security Friday, as we are wont to do when we have things to talk about. And today we have not just Facebook news, we have Facebook adjacent news, because Instagram is all huffy about something. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, so listeners may be sick of hearing this by now, but... So there's this feature in iOS 14 that is really going to put a damper on advertising, because apps will have to ask you if, like, they have to ask you permission if you can, if they can track you or not. Mm-hmm. And after a lot of outcry by Facebook, and I think we said some mobile game companies that we never really got their names. It was just mobile game companies.
Yeah.
So they were concerned, news publishers were concerned, and now Instagram is also concerned.
Right.
I kind of spin this as a little editorial, but I just wrote that, Instagram is the latest advertising complaint about this. Mm-hmm. And the CEO said, it's going to be a lot more problematic for all these small businesses. There are millions of them out there that rely on us to target customers and to reach those customers, particularly during a pandemic when they are hurting. And Apple, before this statement happened, Apple did agree to delay the feature until they said early 2021. Mm-hmm. So advertisers still have a little bit of time to figure something else out.
Yeah. So
it can't happen soon enough to be to put a fine point on it.
Yes.
I am someone who, you know, like a big part of what I do here at TMO and then zooming out to Backbeat Media in general is managing, you know, our sponsorships and our advertising and that of other websites and podcasts that you may or may not even listen to. This kind of tracking, though, it's bad. And we as humans have proven that we're not responsible when we have access to this kind of data that allows us to really hone in and profile and truly target a specific person. We get greedy. We're like, oh yeah, you know, I mean, 15 years ago, somebody came to us and said, hey, can we put a little tracking pixel on your site? We'll pay you for it. But we just want to, you know who your readers are so that if they buy from, you know, a sponsor or something, we can give you, we can attribute it to you. And that would be great, wouldn't it? And it seemed like a good idea at the time. It was, if it were to start and end there.
Right.
But it doesn't start and end there. We built over, you know, a decade and a half. I say the industry. We didn't actively knowingly participate in this. And we certainly don't have access to the data, but we did participate in it. The building of this huge database of things about all of us, and it's freaking creepy, and it's why GDPR exists. And I am so happy that Apple is doing what they're doing. In fact, I don't think they're doing enough, but maybe I've ranted long enough. So there you go.
Well, when we find out more about this and what the next moves are from Apple on it, we will absolutely have more to discuss. So, in other security news, speaking of keeping all your information online, Fight for the Future has launched a new campaign.
Yes. So there is some more, I don't know what you call it, debate or hubbub about this law. It's Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Mm-hmm. And this move would put the FCC and FTC in charge of policing online speech. which they argue would enable some online widespread censorship. And so Fight for the Future is just, they launched this web page that will let people submit a comment to the FCC to protest it. Mm-hmm. And I think they have some preloaded comments mm-hmm. from this dropdown. So the quote that I shared in part is, a drop-down menu of humorous adjectives describing the order, such as despicable and legally unsound.
All right. So we know where they stand on how to submit those comments. So you absolutely mm-hmm. should. And if Section 230 sounds a little bit familiar to you, definitely go find out more about it. It's very important, and it's part of what allows podcasting and any sort of reasonable comment section and all of that, like everything, everything from what we publish at Mac Observer to all kinds of other sources that put things online. This could definitely be weaponized against someone with whom you disagree, and that's not usually great. So definitely check it out. And our last bit of security news today before we get to our tip is that Documents by Readle has had a really interesting new feature to Readle has added something really interesting to Documents by Readle.
Yeah, so as I told Kelly last night, I had this like big old shower argument with myself about this. And by that I mean, it's one of those things where one half your brain argues against one side, the other half your brain argues the other side, and at the end you just take notes and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I wrote this up as a cool stuff found. So Readle makes a lot of really great apps, like mm-hmm. Documents. It's a file manager. They make PDF Expert to manage everything you want to do with PDFs. Printer Pro, Spark is an email app. Mm-hmm. Like they're really good. I do like Readle. When I wrote about this, I did say maybe people shouldn't download this. Or at least use this VPN. So what happened is they added a VPN service to their Documents app, and they didn't really say what VPN they're using. I don't know if they're using their own servers or maybe, a third-party VPN. Mm-hmm. But because their Documents app has a built-in web browser, although it sounds like this will be a system-wide VPN.
Okay.
And so I said, well, maybe you should be cautious and not download it because it's new and we don't really know anything about it right now. And yeah. So I told readers, maybe just use another VPN that we know more about, like Proton VPN. That's what I use. Nord VPN, Express VPN. Those are another good ones. Mm-hmm. And so I just had this whole argument of, is that fair to say? And I think the question that I ultimately arrived at is, or at least that we should be asking ourselves, is there a difference between a VPN from a company like Readle, who is just adding this to its suite of products that it already has, or a VPN from a company who's reason for being is as a VPN.
Right.
And I just mentioned that as we're seeing a lot of VPN services because mm-hmm. it's kind of the popular thing to do nowadays.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think privacy awareness is increasing in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think this is just something to keep in mind. Is this a service I should trust?
Right. And I think until we know more about it, there's not really an answer for that yet. I don't feel like I have enough information from Readle at this point to make the decision. Yes, this is a thing I'm going to use. No, I'm going to skip it because I have my own VPN solution, which is not to say that you shouldn't have a VPN solution. That's generally a good idea. I think we can all agree on that.
My advice when it comes to VPNs is stay far away from free VPNs because they make their money somewhere.
Absolutely.
And generally that means they're tracking you and then selling that information for money and to marketers. In fact, to tie it all together.
Yes.
What you want to find a VPN that has no tracking of you whatsoever, like no ability to track you is the best thing. And it's, I'm aware of ExpressVPN because they've been a sponsor of our Mac Geek Gab podcast for a long time. I'm a fan of them because of many things, but one of them is this trusted server thing that they do where all their VPN servers are spun up on RAM disks. And so as soon as the computer is switched off, any data that existed about any users that connected is gone. It's not keeping it anyway, but it's also impossible for it to be saved somewhere, which is like, that's the key, is impossible is better than don't worry, we'll delete it.
But
you know, so find a VPN service that cannot track you, not just that does not. And that would be my advice. So, and I don't, we don't know if that's readable or not. And we'll, I guess we'll follow up once we do.
Yeah. As soon as we know more, we'll definitely let you know about it. Now, because it's Security Friday, we always like to give people a practical tip. And today's practical tip, Andrew, is...
Someone from ZDNet wrote up this tip, Adrian Kingsley Hughes. And so he said, maybe a good thing to do at least once a week is to just restart your iPhone and iPad and maybe even your Mac, too. He says, not only does this clean the system's RAM and get it ready to do more work, but it also helps protect against remote exploits by making it harder for hackers to keep control of your iPhone, because those types of hacks typically don't survive reboots. They have to be reloaded into the system again. So I thought, well, maybe that's a, this sounds like a good, easy tip for people to consider.
Yeah. And that's my favorite kind of tip, because if you do it, it's certainly not going to hurt anything, but it's entirely possible it could help you in some way. So definitely a thing I would say is a fine tip, and definitely something to, especially because that's a thing that you can use to solve a lot of issues, especially on a mobile device where there's not a whole lot of other options for you as far as troubleshooting things. So sometimes just a good reboot will help sort that out. So very good tip.
And I would add that this definitely isn't a cure-all type of thing. If you seriously think that your phone has some kind of malware on it, you should, you know, maybe completely wipe the device or get a new one if you can afford it.
Yeah.
But I think this is something that can maybe help you stay ahead of the game a little bit.
Yeah, at least a little. So, excellent. So that's going to do it for Security Friday today. We have something interesting to discuss in a minute, but right now I'd like to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week, who's Mint Mobile. Breaking up with your old wireless provider just got a whole lot easier thanks to Mint Mobile. I've been telling you about them all week. They were the first company to sell their premium wireless service online only, so no retail stores or anything to have to maintain or pay for. And Mint Mobile is introducing their unlimited data plan for $30 a month. Let me say that again. An unlimited data plan for $30 a month. So think about that for a second. How much is your future ex wireless provider charging you? If you're ready to forsake them, you can switch to Mint Mobile with a premium unlimited plan for $30 a month. You're totally covered if you're not 100% satisfied. They have a 7-day money back guarantee. Give it a shot and see what you think. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. You can keep all your, you can keep your same phone number, all of your contacts, all of your apps, all of it is really easy to just continue using on a new plan. Switching for me was super easy. Activation was a snap, and having everything come to my house and save me a trip to one of those stores was super great. So my chances to test reception haven't been what they would have been in the before times, but everywhere I've tried it, everything's worked really well. So if you want to switch to Mint Mobile and get your unlimited wireless plan down to $30 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO. And you can get your unlimited wireless plan for $30 a month. And we'd like to thank Mint Mobile for sponsoring the show today. Now, the rest of the show today, because we've got a little bit of time left, is the state of the beta. A catchy little title we came up with yesterday to talk about iOS 14. It's coming. It's very close to final form, if we're not there already, in early September. So if you were to put the betas on your devices now, it would be less it would be a slightly better decision than it was to do it in June, the way some people did it, Andrew. And so we kind of want to talk about the what they look like now and what kind of things you can expect if you were to go and try doing something like this afternoon.
Yeah, so I'm curious, Andrew, if I can ask you some questions, because I'm running the beta, but it's on an iPhone SE 2020 edition that is not my daily driver. I'm not living inside the beta. I'm experiencing it over there. But I will say it seems very stable to me. I've got beta 8 on there because that's what I'm supposed to have, but even, for the last month, it's felt very stable. There have been some UX UI tweaks that have happened that are good, but by and large, I haven't really had any issue with it. And I'm kind of tempted to run my daily driver over to it. So you do have your daily driver on it. How has it been for you?
Yeah, so against the advice of Charlotte and Kelly, I have
and
been
every
running
other
beta
thinking person who uses an iOS device, I might add.
Yeah. So it was kind of on and off. Like, I would say the first two betas were relatively good. I didn't experience a whole lot of issues. But then there was iOS beta 4. And that, I experienced a lot of bugs with that one. And I've seen some other people talking online that they had a lot of bugs too. The area where I saw most of the bugs was the Shortcuts app. And maybe that's just because that's an app I use a lot. But I had a lot of problems with Shortcuts. And it took a beta or two before they were finally clear. And so now we're on beta 8, and I would say, this is very stable now, and if someone wants to install it on their daily driver, I don't think they're going to have a lot of problems.
Okay. Now, you've been using iPadOS betas as well, right?
Yeah, so my devices are an iPhone 7 Plus and the iPad Pro 2018.
Okay. And does it seem like it's been okay on the iPad as well? Because I know now that we've got sort of iPadOS versus iOS that there are a few things that are different between the two devices. So was that kind of the same experience on the iPad? Like beta 4 was kind of rough because of Shortcuts, but seems okay now?
Yeah. I would say the iPad experience was a little bit more shaky because certain problems I had with Shortcuts on the iPad that I couldn't do, I was able to do them on the iPhone. So there is a little bit of your experience may vary.
Yeah.
But it seemed maybe the iPad OS was a bit more buggy.
Okay. That would make sense.
I've found that in the past that during this phase of betas, the iPad tends to lag in the stability department to the iPhone. But when in the past, when they focused kind of the 0.5 release on the real new features for the iPad in, say, the spring, those betas tend to get really stable really quickly. So maybe we're seeing that again. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that this fall, back in the spring, I would not have predicted anything about this fall. So, it's really hard to predict about the spring right now.
Yeah.
But it does feel like a normal thing that we saw in the past. But yeah. All right. Well, maybe this weekend I'll migrate my daily driver iPhone 11 over to the beta. I don't know. normally I hesitate because of travel and all that, but I'm not really going anywhere.
There's not
right
a
now,
lot of so. That now. Yeah.
No, there's not. Yeah. There's not. I actually had some of it in August, which was really weird, but yeah, not none scheduled, but with a child all the way out where you are, Kelly, many,
yeah,
many, many miles away from me at any point in time, especially with everything that's going on with you guys, it could be like, all right, got to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
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 And if you find yourself in that situation, I'm just going to give Dave a shout out for the Matt Geek Gag episode about your geeky go bag. and how that can be a really important thing to make sure that you have handy. Yeah, particularly as I know people who are being evacuated from their homes right now. So definitely a thing that you want to consider. So go check out that Geek Gab episode. And if you are in an area where you are having some sort of emergency situation or the potential for an emergency situation, then make sure that you check with the authorities in your area, because there's always sort of the checklist of stuff that you should have ready to go ahead of time. So make sure that you've got that in case that's a thing that you need, because it can take time to get those things assembled occasionally, you know, depending what it is that you need. And getting a hold of stuff is, of course, doubly complicated in 2020, and it's been complicated by 2020. So you may want to make sure that you've got that planning going if it looks like anything that you're going to try and end up having to use. So anyway, I did enjoy that episode, Dave. So that was why, that's also part of why I wanted to make sure it got props.
Yeah, thanks. Like,
I know so many people who turns out actually, you know, need this. So Yeah.
I didn't know I needed it until I was, you know, faced with leaving for the hospital in 5 minutes last Wednesday early morning. And it was like, get me, I hope I was more polite about this, but the sentiment to my wife was, get me my backpack and then bring that to me at the hospital once I'm there. And it turned out to have everything I needed and then some, which was great. You know,
Yes. I'm very much a, you know, in case packer as well. So that would probably be me too.
Just, you know, I have my thing ready to go when I have to go on a trip, and it basically stays the same. And so it was like, I can't think right now, but that's going to have everything and then some. So give me that. Let me throw my phone in it, so I'm not trying to manage my phone while I'm on my way to the hospital and have that delivered to me in the ER. So, you know, again, I hope I was a whole lot more polite about it than that, but realistically I probably wasn't.
But maybe not. So
Yeah, it was a painful moment. So anyway, it's all good now. Everything's fine. Yes. We're all fine here.
Yes. So we're going to call it there. Dave has to go appreciate his wife some more. And and we're going to try to head into the weekend. So I want to thank both of you for being here. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good stuff. Have a good weekend.
And Andrew, thanks for being here as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And as usual, have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, I will talk to all of you again on Monday. And until then, be excellent to each other. And for serious, let's be careful out there.